Okay. No, it's going to be one of those things.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Just a little bit of a musical interruption there. But anyways, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I am the guy who managed to get the flu in the summer and July and all that other fun stuff. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call in and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, you can find me and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, you know, not a still not a ton of deals out there, Dan. As we get closer and closer to the deadline here, you know, by the I think by the time you and I come on air tomorrow, is it over? I think it ends at 4 o'clock Eastern time, I think, is what they were going with. You know, and we're still waiting for something to come up. I mean, you know, I keep seeing, you know, the same BS of, you know, this guy, this team's interested in this guy and so on and so forth. But the only actual trade today was made by the Cubs. They acquired middle reliever David Phelps from the Blue Jays for double-A right-hander Thomas Hatch. You know, Phelps is he's definitely a veteran here. I want to get his numbers. Yeah, this is his seventh year in the majors. He's had stops with the Yankees, Miami, Seattle, and then Toronto this year. He did miss all of last year. I believe he was recovering from Tommy John. 17 appearances for the Jays. He has no record, but he has a 3.63 ERA. You know, he's you're a very classic, you know, setup guy. When you talk about a setup guy, this is the kind of guy you look for. It's definitely something the Cubs needed. So you like this deal?
I don't really know much about him.
So, yeah, he's, you know, like I said, he's basically just been a journeyman, but you know, he should fit in. You know, he should fit in well, especially with Pedro Strop going on the IL. You know, he'll be able to help fill that role a little bit while Strop is out. I didn't see what Strop's injury was. Did you?
No. You know, I was trying to look that up, but got sidetracked. But this trade.
So yeah, I haven't. I was paying attention and I saw that he went on the DL, but I was more interested in who they acquired than the move they actually made. So let me see if I can get
a hamstring.
Okay. So it should be something that shouldn't keep him out too long, hopefully. So that'll be a big plus there. But you know, it was definitely a huge need for the Cubs, and I honestly won't even be surprised if they were to go out and pick up one more reliever. That wouldn't shock me at all. So we'll see. But yeah, that's been the only actual deal that has happened. So, everything else is, it's just still a lot of, a lot of rumors, and it's a lot of the same guys. I mean, there's nothing new. It's the, you know, it's the Madison Bumgarner, Trevor Bauer, you know, kind of BS that we've been acting out over and over. And I got to tell you, Dan, I'll be glad when this is all said and done tomorrow, because nobody has any information or seems to know what's going on. So, you know, it just kind of, you know, kind of went that way. I think about the only other actual move was the Phillies signed Blake Parker. You know, he had been, the Twins released him. And the thing I found interesting about that is they signed him to a major league deal. So they, you know, they had to bring him, you know, most of the time when a guy gets designated like that, he gets signed, but he goes to the minors. You know, that didn't happen with Parker. And, I mean, you know, he wasn't great for the Twins, but, I mean, he did save 10 games. But he had a 4.21 ERA in his 37 appearances. And, you know, obviously you don't want that for – you don't want your ERA as a closer to be that high. But, you know, he's not going to be asked to close in Philadelphia. They have their own, you know, own guys, you know, being able to fill there. And, you know, maybe if they have to go to him, they can go to him a day here or a day there. But, you know, all in all, that's another, you know, another kind of solid signing. You get a veteran guy who's kind of bounced around. You know, he actually got to start with the Cubs. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, everything else, when I say dead, I mean, it's, there's no other way to describe it. I mean, unless something's, you know, Dan, I've never really seen anything like this. Is it the one and only deadline that's causing this problems? You think teams with assets are holding out to get big, big deals?
Well, I mean, it looks like the Mets are looking for major league ready players, at least two of them. So it's hard to really gauge what anyone's thinking.
Yeah, because I know the one deal that they were reported working on was, you know, the Dodgers contacted the Pirates about Felipe Vasquez. You know, and the Pirates have repeatedly said he's not available. So when the Dodgers came to him, they said, well, you know, we want Gavin Lux, who's your number one prospect, and then we want two more prospects along with him. Now, obviously, that's a, you know, if any team could pay that price, it could be the Dodgers. They could literally give up three prospects and still be okay. They've done just a fantastic job of building their farm system. But, you know, they were a little leery. You know, Lux looks like he's going to be a fantastic major league hitter for a very, very long time, barring injury. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to get a player like Vasquez, don't they have to pay the price kind of, you know, like what the Cubs did with Chapman? I mean, if you want that winning piece, you got to pay for it. And we killed Dan.
Oh, sorry.
There we go.
No, I mean, they've got to pay for it.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, it looks like, you know, more and more, you know, these price tags are going to be higher, especially for a guy like Vasquez, who I believe has, if it's not three, it might be 4 years left on his contract. You know, and this guy, you know, he's definitely in the top of closers. You know, I mean, and the Dodgers don't even really want him to close. They just want him there to back up Kenley Jansen, who has had his struggles here and there. So it would be nice to give him a break, you know, and kind of focus him a little more to the playoffs than, you know, wrapping up the season. So that would be a big plus for LA. But, yeah, they don't seem like they want to pay the price. And, you know, you wonder again if down the line come playoff time, if this is going to hurt them, if, you know, they don't make some kind of move.
Well, they only have until 3 p.m. Central tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So yeah, definitely by the time you and I hit the internet, it will be all said and done. So, you know. But yeah, you know, and like you said, the Mets are, for Syndergaard, the Mets are asking for multiple major league ready players. Now, I don't know if that means prospects that are in AAA that are ready to come up, because, you know, obviously a contender isn't going to pare down its major league roster. So, you know, it would be, you know, kind of interesting to see what, you know, that actually means. But, yeah, I would guess it's, you know, minor, you know, your top prospects who are ready to make the move to the majors, right? I mean, is that how you read it, or what do you see it as?
Well, you know, one of the teams that was looking supposedly were the Padres, so I would assume it's possible third baseman, first baseman.
Yeah, except I don't think the Padres have either of those to give. I mean, they could give an outfielder. You know, they have extra outfielders. But, you know, other than, I know they have a lot of young farm talent, but, you know, I don't know how many they're willing to give up.
No, I'm referring to the starters. Guys who are
not going to deal Hosmer or Machado. That's why they got him, was to win, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm referring to Eric Hosmer, you know, maybe Tatis Jr., or even Will Myers.
Yeah, if that's what the Mets want, that's not going to ever happen. You know, I mean, that's just kind of the definition of overreaching. And I mean, I don't know, you know, the more things kind of shake out, you know, there were always questions about the Mets to begin with. Now I'm just to the point where I think they have absolutely no idea what they're doing. You know, I mean, they went out, they signed a bunch of veteran guys in the off season. You know, they traded for, you know, Cano and Diaz, and but it didn't work out. I don't know what the problem was there or what it's been, but, you know, you look at what they have, and they should be a lot better than what they are. You know, I don't know if you want to, you know, you want to blame the manager, you want to blame the GM or whoever, but, you know, something that goes on there just doesn't work for whatever the reason is. And you start asking for, you know, what you kind of said. I mean, borderline, you know, ridiculous to think that the Padres would entertain trading Machado or Hosmer. You know, and Tatis is on pace to win Rookie of the Year, and he's a building block for their future. So,
yeah, well, you forget about their first baseman, and then the outfielder. What's his name? I can't think of his name.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe they have an outfielder to move if, you know, the Padres would be willing to move, you know, a Hunter Renfroe or a Fermil Reyes. You know, I mean, there are some guys like that. I wouldn't be surprised if they would part with, you know, Luis Urias,
Will Myers,
you know, had been, but has really struggled. So other than that, I mean, you know, you're not going to get their top guys. So, you know, I mean, good luck. I mean, you know, it's always nice to ask for them, but, you know, that's not going to happen. You know, I mean, that would be like, you know, going to the Dodgers and saying, hey, we'll give you Noah Syndergaard, you give us Cody Bellinger. You know, why would we make that trade? So, you know, or, you know, you go to the Cubs and you say, okay, well, I need Chris Bryant here. You can have Noah Syndergaard. Of course, you know, the Cubs may do that because we'll probably try to put Syndergaard in right field. But that's a different story. So, but yeah, it's made the deadline kind of interesting, but you know, in a way, it's just kind of, you know, kind of almost odd with the way it's shaken out. But I don't know. I guess it'll all come together tomorrow, and I'm sure this is what baseball wanted. I mean, if there's going to be deals, there's going to be a frenzy of them, and, you know, it's going to be a lot like the NBA trade deadline where things are just flying in right and left, and, you know, I'm pretty sure that's what they wanted to see happen, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, but I think the stalemate on it also is the fact that it's the end of July. I mean, at this point, you know, there's how many teams are still considerably in the wild card run? You know, you look at the National
isn't that
League. Yeah, but, I mean, how do you know if you're going to want to move? I think had it been maybe a little bit later into August, you'd have a better idea. But, I mean, if you look at the National League, is 7 games out really that bad when you're talking about the wild card? So that leaves pretty much every team except for Pittsburgh and Miami.
Yeah, you know, but when you're looking at jumping that many teams, it can be difficult. You know, I mean, in reality, you know, who is it? Is it the Mets that are 7 out? Or, well, here, the Padres are 6.5 out. Yeah, well, I got San Diego and Cincinnati are actually 6.5 out. Yeah, the Rockies are 7. But, yeah, they would be looking to jump, 9 or 10 teams, and that's a lot to ask. I mean, obviously it's possible, but, you know, in reality, I mean, I think from probably the Mets down in the National League are probably done, and even Arizona is right now borderline, but that's more the Giants' fault because of the way they've been playing than, you know, anything else, so.
Yeah, but you see where I'm coming from, though. I mean, even with being 7 games out, it's a challenge, but at the same point, you know, you don't want to give your fan base the idea that you're thrown in the towel already.
No, you know,
and that
no,
you're
I mean,
completely giving up. So, I mean, you're still kind of in it at July 31st.
I think that's the other thing that baffles me about the Mets is, you know, you've got what appears to be a fantastic pitching staff. You know, wouldn't you, you know, I think the only one whose deal is up is Wheeler's, and he goes to arbitration, I believe. It's not free agency. So you actually have an opportunity here to go for it. And I don't even know if, you know, they have to add. You know, you could probably stick with the lineup you got and just hope your pitching blossoms. And even at 7 games out, you could convince me that they could possibly contend because, you know, all you need is the rotation to get rolling. And all of a sudden, you know, they're in every game. Now, obviously, it hasn't worked out like that for the Mets, but they have won 4 in a row, and they, you know, their schedule coming up here, you know, it's 3 against the White Sox, 3 against the Padres, and 4 against the Marlins. You know, that's 10 games where they could really make some hay. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they just hung on and played it out and kind of, you know, looked and see where they were after these 10 games and, you know, hope it worked out. I mean, imagine if the Mets were to win 15 in a row or 14 in a row. Does that get them back in the race?
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, do you see the difference as opposed to last year where, you know, even last year it wasn't as crazy by the trade deadline, but then we saw more moves, you know, happen through the month of August with, you know, clearing waivers.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, you know, that's the big difference this year. You know, last year teams were able to go, well, let's see where we are in a month, and I can make the decision at the waiver deadline. You know, you can't do that anymore. You got to go, well, are we in or are we out? So, you know, and
yeah,
I, you know, obviously in the they would need a bullpen to step up because their bullpen has been ridiculously bad. So,
well, I mean, there's a lot of people with that problem. But, I mean, at the same
That is true. I mean, you could go down the list of teams, but, you know, I think when you start to look at bad bullpens, I think the Mets and the Nationals pop into your head first. So.
But, I mean, at the same token, can you imagine if you just give it two more weeks, if you put the trade deadline to, like, you know, the end of the second week of August, which, you know, for this year, it would be August 16th if you want to do it on a Friday or a Saturday. And, you know, maybe it doesn't seem like a lot, but we're talking about, you know, 16 days, 17 days, which in baseball, you know, that's at least 14 games. And that could be a huge difference.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, maybe that is something they'll work on where, you know, they've – you know, because obviously this is new, so maybe this is something they change, you know, next year or the year after that, or I don't know if it's got to be collectively bargained. So, maybe that's something they feel will swap out, but, you know, it does make it, you know, again, it makes it really interesting with all these teams kind of hanging around. So. You know, and while we are talking about teams hanging around, you know, the Nationals came back from God only knows where. You know, I had their manager fired. I thought they needed a managerial change. They were incredibly bad. You know, now they're, what, 8 games over .500, and they have the top wild card spot in the National League. But Max Scherzer's on a 10-day DL, Dan. They're, what did they call it? Mild strain of the rhombus muscle. Is that in his butt? So, and, you know, they don't have a timetable for his return. So the question, Dan, is do the, you know, obviously the Nationals need bullpen help like every other team, but do they have to delve into the starters market now with Scherzer on the IL? Oh, we killed Dan. All right, well, let's wait for Dan to recirculate. Oh, okay, that was horrible. There we go. Let's see if we can get Dan to come back in here. There we go. Sounds like Dan is back. All right, Dan, I'll ask you again. Maybe you can answer my questions this time. Max Scherzer's on the DL, 10 days, with a mild strain of his rhombus. The first question we want to know is that a butt muscle? And two, you know, we know the Nationals need relievers, but do they have to get into the starters market now that Scherzer is out?
Most definitely. I think they need to get into the starter market. Otherwise, you know, the Mets can creep up on them.
So, you know, not only the Mets, but the Phillies. So, you know, it's a But then you didn't answer my first question. Is the rhombus muscle part of the butt, or where is that?
I thought that was a shoulder.
Oh, I thought it was like lower back, upper hiney muscles, but, you know, who knows? That's just what they call it. But, yeah, there's no timetable for his return. Obviously, that's a problem. You know, you can't really replace Max Scherzer. You know, there's no, you know, you're not going to AAA to find that guy. I believe they called up Eric Fetty, you know, who's had some hits and misses. But yeah, I, you know, definitely think they've got to find a starter. Do you think that's priority over the bullpen? Yeah, you know, another team that is you know, is in one of those goofy spots due to injury. So, you know, I just don't know, but it could be fun to see how Holzer comes back. So I was looking here. I know Jeremy Hellickson isn't far from returning. I don't know how much help that really is, but at least, you know, it would be another arm. So we could see how that goes. But the other odd thing I heard, Dan, and you know, you and I had a longer discussion here about the Red Sox the other day. You know, I mean, they're not going to catch the Yankees. They're 9 games behind them, but they are only a game out of the wild card, and you know, it's pretty clear. And you mentioned, I mean, I think in reality we could say this about every team that pops up here, but the Red Sox need what I guess you would describe as serious bullpen help, because they need a guy who can finish games. You know, they don't have a closer. You know, the guy with the most saves on their roster was sent to the minors. And, Nathan Eovaldi was supposed to be the guy. His ERA is now 7.23. He doesn't have any saves yet. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But I heard, Dan, that the Red Sox aren't going to go, as they put it, big game hunting, because they are a couple million dollars away from the top luxury tax level. And not only would they lose, you know, they would have to pay the luxury tax, but they would lose 10 draft spots if they went over. Do they, you know, and you mentioned this before, do they shortchange their fans by not going out and getting a guy because they won't go over that? Or do you think they should? I mean, you know, we know wildcard teams can win it. They're only a game out, but they've got to solve this problem. I mean, how are you feeling if you're a Red Sox fan?
I'm a little worried. I didn't know that was instituted, that if you go over the tax, that you lose draft picks.
Yeah, well, not picks, just position.
Oh.
So.
I mean, no, I still think you go over.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, an odd situation for this team, because it's, you know, it's difficult, you know, like when you're looking for starters, you know, you can find starters on the cheap. You know, there's always kind of, you know, guys out there that you can go, okay, well, you know, like you kind of look at the Phillies. I mean, they pieced it together with Drew Smyly and now Jason Vargas. So they're not going out and spending any real money. You know, so you can kind of do that with starters, but when, you know, you start looking at these bullpen pieces, you know, who's a – is there – I mean, can you think of a cheap closer off the top of your head that the Red Sox could go get?
Fernando Rodney?
Yeah, well, I think the Nationals got him, and I doubt they're going to give him up, because they, you know, like we know, that, you know, their bullpen is in, you know, in a little bit of chaos. So.
I thought he was still in. I have him on my team, but I was thinking he was still in Florida.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm kind of thinking, Sergio Romo might have been a really good fit, but he was just to Minnesota.
Yeah, they're not giving
up. You know, I don't know what his salary was, but, you know, I mean, when you kind of start looking at the guys who are available, you know, guys like Shane Green and Alex Colome are out of their price range. Do you trust something to, like, Ian Kennedy? Of course, I believe he's out of the price range, too, because he's getting starters money.
Yeah, well, and, you know, with Colome, are you going to give the White Sox more than you already have?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that just happens to be where he is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and the odd part is, you know, the Red Sox easily could have signed him. You know, it's not like he wasn't a free agent. You know, but yeah, you know, as I start going down the list, I mean, you know, I'd have to see what Greg Holland makes. But, you know, then you're looking at another closer with a 4.54 ERA. So, you know, I don't know if the A's are ready to give up on Blake Tryon. Remember, he was lights out last year and unhittable. Now his ERA is over 4. I'm sure the Rockies would love to give you Wade Davis, but again, that puts Boston over where, you know, they need to go. You know, that puts them in the top luxury tax. You know, just looking and looking, I don't know if there's a solution that they could actually go get. You know, I mean, you're looking for a guy in today's game who probably makes less than $3 million. Where, you know, who's your closer making that?
Definitely not Wade Davis.
Right. You know, that, and, you know, that's the scary part about it. I mean, you know, even as I work down here, some of the guys that could actually be available, you know, not on playoff teams. You know, Michael Lorenzen does have 6 saves for the Reds. You know, he may be a guy who actually fits into your price range. You know, if the Padres are out of it, maybe Craig Stammen. You know, he does have 4 saves, but he's also blown 7 of them. So, you know, I mean, there's just not a lot of, you know, low-end type of closer guys. I know there was talk that they might go get Daniel Hudson from the Blue Jays, but, you know, I know he's had, I think he was a closer for about a half a year, but he's really a setup guy. You know, is that what they're going to have to settle for, Dan? They're going to have to find a setup guy that they trust enough to move into the closing role? Oh, maybe we killed Dan. All right, let's see what we got for setup guys here. Rolling along.
I was thinking they reach out to the Giants, but I forgot how far or how close they are to that luxury threshold.
Yeah. So, yeah, and, you know, even, like, looking at the setup guys, you know, most of them are on contenders. So, you know, they're obviously not going to part ways with them there. I honestly don't know if there's a solution for Boston here. You know, I mean, their fans may have to settle for what they have and honestly just hope Evaldi is the answer.
I was going to say, don't they have any more starting pitchers they could put back there?
Well, you know, I'm sure they, you know, they might have somebody. You know, remember Chris Sale started his career as a closer. So, you know, I am interested. I'm wondering if they you know, who's hanging out at, like, AAA or something for them that they might, you know, that they could possibly have, you know, have maybe bring up or something. You know, what's their AAA team? Is that Pawtucket? So
yeah.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Pawtucket Red Sox. Let's see what they have statistically wise, as long as my internet wants to keep up. Individual stats, I'll take that one, please. All right, Dan, it looks like the most saves in AAA, they're not really dominating here either. They have Trevor Kelly with 8, and he does have a 1.45 ERA. Interestingly, and I think maybe only you and I would find this interesting, they have Jenry Mejia in AAA. He has 7 saves, but his ERA is just under 7. Is he actually eligible to play, Dan, or is he still suspended?
You can't play in majors or minors if you're suspended.
Oh, okay. So he is eligible?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he would be a guy that could take a look at. I know he's got 7 saves down there at AAA, and he has had he's got a little bit of a rough ERA, but you are talking about a guy who did save 28 games 1 year with the Mets. So, at least you would have something there. I can't see how he could be any worse than anything else they had, right?
Yeah, and well, I think one of the issues with him might be, though, options. If you bring him up, can you put him back down if needed? So there's that challenge. And, it makes you kind of look at the fact, like, the Cubs went out for David Phelps. It's definitely not a blockbuster. Some might say it's improvements. I mean, it is because they're losing Strope, who, is on the IL. Well, it's been injured supposedly. But, there's really no one to kind of go after at this moment. And I think that's, again, like I said, part of with the trade deadline. And I'm not opposed to the hard deadline, which I prefer because it just didn't make sense because all of this month, all of August, last year we're like, oh, this team made a trade, and how hard is it to clear the waivers? That system just seemed so – didn't even seem like it was a system, to be honest with you. So, but again, like I said, with so many teams still technically, on a piece of paper in it, I think it makes it hard for other teams to want to, really become true sellers and, while every contending team has to be a buyer.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, you should buy, and that's, and that's the thing, and maybe you could explain this one to me. Obviously the Giants are in the wild card race. They're only about 2.5 games out. The Indians currently hold a wild card spot in the American League, but yet everybody is talking like these two teams need to be sellers. Everybody's still saying the Giants need to move Bumgarner. And then, Trevor Bauer has been the talk of trade since they didn't move him in the offseason. If I'm an Indians fan and they were to deal Bauer, I would no longer be an Indians fan because you'd be giving up. You're a playoff team who's giving up your playoff spot.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd say they – if you're an Indians fan and they traded him, he'd stop going to the games, but we both know they don't go to games to begin with.
Right.
No. maybe that's why they want the Indians to trade. No, but I mean, I think it's just crazy. It's just, when we kind of rewind back a few years, when Baltimore really looked like they had an opportunity to contend, which was not an easy feat, especially working in the same division as the Yanks and the Red Sox. I forget the reason why they just could never pull it together. But, I mean, at the time, they had probably one of the best lineups, if not on paper, but in baseball, when everything was kind of flowing. And, yet they were supposed to just break it down and kill it. In retrospect, though, a couple of those guys, I think maybe they should, when you look back now, it probably would have been for the better. Because they could have, restocked their farm system a little bit and maybe got somewhere. But, at the same time, when you're a team that has contention possibility, just because the talking heads and suits that, may have played a little bit of Little League, just because they say you need to break down and sell everything doesn't mean you should. I think it's insane, especially for a team that's going to compete and like the Giants. What are they, 20-6 this month? But I'll be back in a few.
Yeah. So, it is interesting. While we did bring up Trevor Bauer, there's not going to be any MLB penalty, except he did get fined. But there's not going to be any kind of suspension for him throwing the baseball. I know, you know, there are still people freaking out about it. And it's like, you know, let it go. You know, I get, you know, and again, I'll say it. It was unprofessional. It was childish. But it's not the gigantic deal everybody made it out to be. So just, you know, get over yourselves. You know, you act like you've never done it. So, or wanted to do it. You know, honestly, you should be more impressed by the fact that he actually got the ball into the stands. But we did have one final. There was one day game, and it was the Orioles picking up an 8-5 win over the Padres. Obviously, the starters weren't around long here, but if you have Miguel Castro sitting on your bench somewhere, he did get the win for the Orioles. And is it Sean Armstrong? I think it's Sean Armstrong picked up the save. Matt Strom took the loss for the Padres, and, yeah, he got rocked, so hopefully you don't have him. Chris Davis hit his 8th home run for the Orioles, while Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. hit home runs for the Padres. They actually both came in the first inning, and that was back-to-back games. Tatis led off with a home run. So, but yeah, just, I don't know how many of these guys you have, but Trey Mancini picked up a couple hits and a couple RBIs. And then it was Anthony Santander, Ronaldo Nunez, Jace Peterson, and that looks like it. They all had 2 hits as well for the Orioles. On the Padres side, Fermil Reyes, Machado, Will Myers, and that wraps that up. Each had 2 hits there. So there you go. That's kind of how the game worked out. If you had some fantasy guys going, probably not in daily, but possible that, you know, there was a, you know, your weekly league or your yearly league or however it plays out. So there you go. We got the rest of the schedule for you here. Looks like this. We have a big-time battle in the NL East. We got the Braves at the Nationals. Julio Teheran and Eric Fetty is making the start there for Washington. The Diamondbacks are at the Yankees. It's Taylor Clark against J.A. Hop. The Giants at the Phillies. Tyler Beede and Drew Smyly start there. The Astros at the Indians. We got Justin Verlander and Shane Bieber as the starters. Tampa Bay at Boston. Charlie Morton and David Price start there. The Twins at the Marlins, we got Jake Odorizzi and Zach Gallen as the starting pitchers listed. The Pirates at the Reds, we see Joe Musgrove and Tanner Roark, who has drawn some minor trade interest as the starters there. The Seattle Mariners are at the Texas Rangers. They actually have Mike Leake listed as the Mariners starter. We'll have to see if that changes, because apparently there's a chance he may get scratched due to a trade. So if you're using Leake or running with Leake in anything, and that sounds kind of funny to say, make sure you double check it to see where he is before that game gets rolling in about an hour. And then the Rangers are going with Ariel Jurado. The Mets are at the White Sox. Noah Syndergaard and Ronaldo Lopez start there. The Cubs at the Cardinals, both tied for first place in the NL Central. We get Yu Darvish and Adam Wainwright as the starters. The Blue Jays are at the Royals. It's Sean Reed Foley for Toronto. And Mike Montgomery gets the start for Kansas City. The Dodgers are at the Rockies. And, hey, Julio Urias is getting a start. He's been coming out of the bullpen, but tonight he's going to start in Colorado. So they're doing that kid a lot of favors. And the Rockies counter with Kyle Freeland. The Tigers are at the Angels. We got Drew VerHagen and Griffin Canning. I actually went with Canning as my FanDuel pitcher, so I hope that works out. That's also the hint for you guys to stay away from him. And then the night wraps up with the Brewers at the A's. It's Adrian Hauser and Chris Bassitt in that matchup there. So that's what you got going on tonight. The MLB Network does have their marquee game as the, you know, it's the Cubs and the Cardinals, but if you live in the area like I do, you're going to get the Mariners and the Rangers. And then if you're paying the $5 a month for the Mickey Mouse Network Plus, you get the Braves at the National. So there you go. You're all caught up on who's starting where, at least pitcher-wise for baseball. And hopefully your lineup is set. You do better than I have lately in FanDuel, because I've been scuffling. I think, like I said, I think I told Dan before he came on air, I think I scored 104 points. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but hopefully I have a better night and maybe I can at least win my money back, because that would be a big plus for me at this point. Just one of those things that happen. So we shall see how it goes, but yeah. All right. Well, what else is going on? I did see, you know, football wise, everybody's going to have their drafts coming up. You know, they carted AJ Green off the field, the Bengals wide receiver, last week, and now they're saying it looks like he's going to miss the start of the season. I saw that Julio Jones came out and said that he will not play in the preseason at all. He decided that practice is good enough for him. So a couple wide receivers to kind of look out there. Of course, another wide receiver, Michael Thomas with the Saints, is in a holdout. You know, you start adding in the holdout guys. You know, Melvin Gordon hasn't reported. You know, everybody's under the impression that that holdout is going to go into the season. Ezekiel Elliott is in Cabo working out while the Cowboys are in training camp, so he's holding out. You know, it's interesting, you know, when you start to look at these things and, you know, you wonder if, you know, Le'Veon Bell set a precedence by sitting out the entire season, and if guys are willing to do that. Now, Elliott is an extreme case, because he has 2 years left on a deal. So that's why this is kind of a surprise holdout, because, you know, imagine if he was to sit out 2 years, I don't think he would have any value coming back after 2 years. You know, he wouldn't make, you know, he wouldn't get anywhere close to the kind of deal Bell got. You know, you could try to sell me on whatever, you know, he's healthy, he hasn't carried the ball. And, you know, I don't think that's going to go so far after 2 years out of the game, but, you know, somebody would buy him and definitely, you know, definitely take a look at him. But I just don't see a 2 year hiatus being good for his career. But hey, who knows?
In a situation like that, no, I didn't read the article. I just saw Ezekiel and Jerry Jones, and I was like, I ain't even reading this. So I didn't even really look into what was going on. But like in Le'Veon's situation, I know we talked about it last year, but did he legitimately not get paid sitting out last year?
Right. Yeah, he didn't cap anything. Yeah. Yeah, he got nothing. You know, he doesn't get, you know, if there's a signing bonus attached, the Steelers can actually ask for that back, or he has to give it back. You know, there's no roster bonuses and no paydays. So, you know, and obviously, you know, by now these guys have made enough money, you know, where they can sit out a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously with the contract Bell signed, you know, he'll be okay. But, yeah,
no,
it just
– I mean, if you're in Dallas's position, you know, I think with Le'Veon, it was obviously it was kind of new territory. And I think the majority – you and I talked about it. We didn't think he was going to sit out, but maybe – a handful of games. I don't know if, you know, the mainstream or, you know, the NFL news in the morning, if those guys, you know, if everyone thought he was just going to sit out the whole year. But when it comes to Ezekiel, I mean, is it a case of do you think they would try to trade him? Or does this make them look desperate to where, you know, I'm just going to throw the Bears just because, you know, just because it's the closest team to us. Not saying this is not even hypothetical, it's just a name. So they contact the Bears, and the Bears are like, well, we'll give you some of our, you know, practice squad guys because we know he doesn't want to play for you. Is that kind of the situation that the Cowboys become in?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's, you know, you can't do much with a guy holding out for more money, because even if they were to trade him, there's no guarantee he would report to that new team. So, what are you going to give up for a guy? Unless you've got a contract worked out with him, you know, what are you going to give up for a guy that you don't know is going to show up for work?
So is he not under contract anymore and he got franchise tagged?
No, he has 2 years left on his rookie deal What he's trying to do, what him and his agent are trying to do, and now they'll never admit this, but at the end of this year, Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper are both free agents. So they're going to eat up a boatload of the Cowboys salary cap if they try to bring both those guys back or if they have to franchise one of them. So what Elliott wants is he wants his money before those two guys and their agents get in line with their handout. Because when you think about it, once all that money's gone next year for Prescott and Cooper, Elliott comes along the next year, there may not be any money for him, and the Cowboys may just let him go into free agency. You know, because the one thing that's changed in the NFL is you no longer need a premier running back to win. You know, they're nice to have. But you don't need them. I mean, the Patriots won the Super Bowl last year, Dan. Can you name me who their best running back was?
LeGarrette Blount?
No, he's not. I don't know if he played last year. I think he was with Detroit for a little while before they cut him. So, that's kind of how the league has turned. You know, there are a handful of elite running backs. But, you know, when it comes to winning, you don't need them.
Now, do you think is that part of the reason Le'Veon Bell was still highly sought after is because while he did run, you know, I learned the hard way having Antonio Brown over Le'Veon a couple of seasons back was the fact that Le'Veon seemed to get more touches than Brown did, or not even touches, but catches. Or not, you know, it was kind of equal. So it kind of, for me, drafting number one, and, you know, obviously fantasy has no indication of what the NFL is, really. But, I mean, for me, I drafted Antonio Brown thinking, oh, man, this is Ben to Antonio all day. And then next thing I know, Antonio Brown's just kind of like the second option, which broke my heart. That's my team.
Le'Veon Bell seems to be one of the few guys who has that skill set in the NFL where he can run and catch the football. Like Ezekiel Elliott is a good receiver, but he's not a Le'Veon Bell type receiver. So that's a big difference there. I'm trying to think who else works into what Bell does. You know, I know David Johnson in Arizona has a similar skill set. We'll have to see if he can come back from injury. But other than that, you know, there aren't a lot of guys. I mean, you know, LeSean McCoy used to have that skill set till the injuries caught up with him.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley's in the same boat. You know, Todd Gurley's a really good receiver, and we just got to see if he's healthy. So it's not something – you know, a lot of guys can hang their hat on. Here in Chicago, that's part of the reason they shipped off Jordan Howard is they didn't like the way he caught the football, even though he was a 1,000-plus-yard running back.
Yeah. Now, you know, obviously from the time that Adrian Peterson broke that record, his injuries obviously added to that. Is that why he more or less faded out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, you know, he's had some rough injuries that he's actually came back from. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he had injuries that a lot of people probably wouldn't even have came back from. So, you know, he's definitely a different type of guy. But, yeah, it's just, the game has changed. Passing is much more in vogue. So, you know, you don't really need that 25 carry a game running back like you used to.
Well, and it's amazing.
So, you know, I mean,
how much even the quarterback has changed where, you know, we waited for so many years as to why Mr. Fantasy hated the running quarterback. And now it's not so much having a running quarterback. It's just having a guy who can get out of the pocket and maybe get you a couple of yards if needed.
Yeah, well, you know, and it helps now that they can no longer hit him. You know, part of the reason he hated them running is because they got hurt all the time. But now, you know, you can't touch the guy. So, you know, I don't think his hatred is as bad as it used to be. So, you know, it's not horrible anymore to be a running quarterback because you're a lot safer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, it always, you know, it always makes the, you know, like our fantasy drafts fun because you got to decide, you know, is the running back still big enough? And, like, last year there was kind of a resurgence, you know, in fantasy where all the running backs started going in the first round again. You know, for a while, for a couple of years there it was receivers. Everybody wanted the receivers. But, you know, when it comes to fantasy, if you can get a running back who gets enough touches in – you know, if he can get 20 touches, if it's 15 rushes and 5 receptions, you know, they're still big-time scorers. So, you know, they're still first-round prospects. They just don't do it like they used to.
Oh, they don't even run on third and goal anymore or second and goal.
No. They're just as happy to throw it as they are to run it. You know, they can be 6 inches away from the end zone and they're going to try to throw it. It's the oddest thing, the way that the game has shifted. So.
That Canadian football, huh?
Yeah, you know. And, you know, and obviously, you know, college had a lot to do with that now. You know, it's rare to see a college quarterback take a snap from under center. You know, everybody runs out of the shotgun or the pistol or whatever they want to call it. So, it's just different.
Is the pistol a little shorter than the shotgun?
Yeah, allegedly. You know, he's supposed to be closer to the center, so they started calling it the pistol. But, yeah, I don't know. I'll be interested to see if the Cowboys give in or, you know, this could also be another one of those things where Elliott just doesn't want to go to camp. So he's just going to sit out camp, and he's going to come in with, like, a week left and, you know, work out and then, you know, play week one. You know, that wouldn't be a surprise to me at all if this is what kind of this is. So.
Hey, what are they really doing, Cap?
Right. You know, they work out, which is what he's allegedly doing in Cabo.
Hey, rest is just as important.
Right. So, you know, it's just kind of odd when you think about it. It's like, well, where'd he go? Well, you see, he's in Cabo working out. So, okay, great. You know, have a good time. So.
Hey, at least he could do some, you know, runs and sprints and crap on the beach. And then he can go straight
in
the water.
Good for him. I think we've decided here a while ago that training camp is kind of a joke, and actually the first couple weeks of the season are still training camp. So, you know, it's very little interest from you and I in what goes on now.
We had everyone excited.
Yeah. Well, you know, football fans get like that. You know, and that's part of the reason I would just rather see them add the 2 regular season games and go to 18 just to get rid of all this BS. You know, we would only play a couple preseason games. We wouldn't have to deal with all this garbage. And, you know, let's go. Let's get the season started. So, but we'll see.
Or some radio attack.